Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me. Box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. Well, it's now time for us to get started with today's program, beginning with part two of Nightmare for Night. And then after that program, join us in about 15 minutes. We'll be bringing you the conclusion to the Broderick matter. But here now is Nightmare for Night part two.
Arthur Brown, Mysteries. Adventures in excitement and suspense, based on the best-selling novels by the slick storytelling sensation, Carter Brown.
This was really one for the books, the storybooks. Nicky Knight, the private eye, bodyguarding the harem of an eastern prince in an isolated house made even more isolated by a high stone wall. But instead of Knight coming to the harem had come to Knight. In the person of this black-haired babe with a veil over her face and the silk jacket and silk trousers trying hard to hide her how-do-you-do figure and not succeeding.
I said shut the door. That fool Abdul might wake up any minute.
Abdul? Oh, yeah, sure. He's on guard upstairs, isn't he?
I thought he was going to wake up just as I went past him. Boy, was I scared.
I don't get it. You came from the harem, but you're American.
All the way from Texas.
Well, then what are you doing in a harem?
Oh, it was just one of those things. I was dancing in the East, and my agent took a powder with all the dough. Some of it was the management's, so they tossed me out on my ear. Well, that's not exactly pleasant, being broke in those countries. But Al's a man had seen me dance and made me an offer, so here I am.
And you don't mind it?
Oh, he sticks $300 into an account for me every month. Living doesn't cost me anything. Only it's so gold-darn boring.
Boring?
Sure. You don't see anyone all day except Fatima, and at night when the great man makes his inspection, you know what he does?
You tell me.
He just sits there, eating those concern chocolates.
What?
That's right. Then he goes to bed, and we go to bed. I tell you, I have never been so bored. Why I took a chance tonight.
The sneaking out?
Yep. Fatima told us about you. You sounded interesting, so I thought I'd take a look.
Well, look your fill, lady.
Not bad. Not bad at all. What's your name?
Knight. Nick Knight.
Nicky. Oh, I like that. You can call me Tex. Say, that wouldn't be a real old-fashioned American bottle, would it?
It would indeed.
Oh, pour me one.
Sure.
I haven't had a swallow of one of those since George Washington was a pup.
There you are. Watch out it doesn't choke you.
I'm from Texas, remember? Well, he's looking at you, Nicky.
Cheers.
Mm.
There are four of you girls up there, aren't there?
Yep. We fight like cat and dog, too. Takes Fatima all the time to sort us out.
Who are the other three?
Why? What's wrong with me?
Well, from what I can see, and that's plenty, and not a thing, Tex.
Then what do you want to go asking about the others for?
Oh, just curiosity.
Oh. Well, there's Natasha. She's a white Russian or something. Then there's Li Chi. She's Chinese. They're okay. But the other one, the French dame, she's a queer one. Always unhappy, always crying.
Did you say she was French?
Uh-huh. Her name's Marie.
Marie what?
Well, how the tarnation do I know? You know, for a guy who's just curious, you sound awfully interested.
Oh, no. I'm not, Tex.
You better not be. I haven't got much time. That Abdul might wake up any minute. So just you forget about the others, huh? And concentrate on me.
Honey, you've come to the right boy. I can concentrate better than a short-sighted accountant looking for a missing dollar.
So,
Hassan!
So you would betray my master.
Now, take it easy, Hassan.
You know the penalty. Death.
Listen, pal, don't let that hashish you've been feeding yourself give you any nutty ideas.
I have told you, Knight, of my skill with the knife. You may witness it now.
Down on the floor, Tip! I'm up there with a good old American bottle myself. And then there's the good old American rabbit punch, too. How's that for a guy who's a little out of practice?
Nicky, you're going to have to do better. I think someone's coming, and my guess is Abdul.
I can take care of him, too. Little Hassan won't want his gun any longer. That's it. You stay put, Tex. I'll get behind the door.
What is this? Hassan? Dead? And you? Woman? Where is the American?
Right here!
Oh, Nicky, you're colossal.
Oh, so is he. If he'd hit that floor any harder, he'd have gone right through it.
Well, what do we do now?
To coin a phrase, let's get out of here.
But, Nicky, how? There's a guard on the gates, and if he sees
me... But he won't, baby, if you're lying flat on the floor in the back. And with a gun poking at him, I don't think he'll argue with me. I was right. The ex-seaman took one look at the revolver, his eyes did a double-action rock and roll, and he unlocked the gates. I shoved my foot down on the accelerator and we got out of the place quicker than a fish slides down a performing seal's gullet. I didn't slow down until about 15 minutes later.
Whew. Well, that's better. The way you were pushing this bus along, I thought we'd end up in a ditch any minute.
Honey, I used to drive a Jeep in the Army. After that, this is kid stuff.
Where are you heading?
Home, my apartment.
Oh. And what about me? Where am I heading?
Home, my apartment.
Nicky, you're a ripe guy.
And first thing in the morning, I'll have to get you some clothes. Some decent clothes. If a cop pulled us up now with you in that outfit...
You'll have to tell him we've been to a fancy dress ball.
And if he believes that, he'll believe anything. Hey, of all the dumb...
What's the matter?
I've just realized what a dope I am. We could have brought that girl Marie with us.
What's that French dame got that fascinates you? You haven't even seen her.
It's not what she's got, it's what her brother's got. His name's Louis Desprez, and he offered me 5,000 greenbacks for letting him know whether his sister's in that place or not. If we produced the sister, he might have made it 15.
Oh, that explains the curiosity. Money.
Can you think of a better explanation?
I guess not.
Well, speaking of money, that dough that Fatso was depositing in a bank for you, is it an American bank?
Sure.
In your name?
That's right.
Well, then he can't touch it. It's safe.
But I don't know that I am. His Highness Prince Alzaman will never forget that I have insulted his honor by leaving. He'll hunt me down, Nicky. That's the way he is.
I'll let you into a secret. If what Louis Desprez says is true, his sister was kidnapped. And if I can prove it, the prince might be on the other end of the hunting.
Watch out for him, Nicky. He can be real mean.
Look, what's the setup anyway? Where does this Haroon who hired me fit into the picture?
Well, he's the contact man in the States. He's here all the time to work out any troubles with the oil company.
Well, if he's here the whole time, why did Fatso come?
Well, we girls of the harem weren't taken into the prince's confidence. I do know, though, that he had an urgent cable from his younger brother, and that was why he decided to make the trip.
His younger brother? Who's his younger brother?
Haroon, of course, stupid.
Look, I may be stupid, but nobody told me that Haroon was his younger brother.
Well, now I've told you.
Yeah. Where does it get me?
Huh?
There's something screwy going on, Tex, but I just can't figure it. With those three guards already, why was I hired at all?
Search me.
With you in that outfit, it wouldn't take long.
You know, girl looks so stupid in this get-up once you get out of that atmosphere. Girl feels cold, too.
Well, in that case, honey, move closer. Got into my apartment without being seen, which was just as well. First thing next morning, I called Louis Desprez at the Arcadia and arranged to meet him in the lounge. Then I went shopping for Tex. With a list of stuff she gave me, I was only just in time for my talk with Desprez.
Hey, Mr. Knight, when you rang, I could hardly believe it. Well,
Don't we get to order a drink first?
Now, please, Mr. Knight, you know how important this is to me.
Yeah, I guess I do. She's there, Despray.
She is? Is she all right?
As far as I know, I didn't see her, but I have it on good authority that she's okay, but unhappy.
Oh, Marie. My poor little Marie. Is there anything else you found out?
One thing, that my conscience doesn't worry me anymore, not after meeting the prince. In fact, it would be a distinct pleasure to feed him some hot lead instead of chocolates.
Me, I feel the same way. But what are you doing away from the house?
Order me a drink and I'll tell you. While the waiter went off with our orders, I told Louis Despray the whole story. When I finished, Louis looked up at me and his expression was serious.
So this Hassan is a really dangerous one, then, huh?
Uh-huh. And after him, that mountain named Abdul. The one on the gate, Blanc, doesn't matter. He's easy meat.
That is good. Oh, by the way, here is your check for $5,000.
Huh?
I've had it already, just in case.
Well, thanks.
And that keeps my promise to you for finding out whether Marie is there or not. Now I would ask you something more. How would you like to earn a further $5,000?
I'd like. What do I have to do?
Break into that house with me and rescue Marie?
Say, you know, the more I think about that, the more it appeals to me.
Excellent. I told you, monsieur, when we first met, that I knew a man when I saw one.
When do you propose doing it?
We should not wait too long, I think. They may become panicky and do something drastic to my little sister.
Well, when do you think?
What do you say to tomorrow night?
Uh-huh, suits me.
I shall call for you just before midnight. By the time we get to the house, everyone should be asleep.
Yeah, that sounds okay.
Then, monsieur, I give you a toast. To tomorrow night and success.
I drank his toast and then left. In the foyer of the hotel, I bumped into an old acquaintance, Hank Green, the hotel detective.
Hi, Nicky. I saw you in the lounge.
Yeah, I get so reckless. I'll even chance the liquor you serve here.
You get reckless, all right, with the company you keep.
Huh? What's that?
The guy you were drinking with.
Louis Despray?
Oh, is that what he calls himself now?
Well, how do you mean now?
I know him as Louis Katz, a nasty taste in the mouth from way back. He dodged a murder rap in France in 1948 and came to the States. He's lucky. His parents were holidaying here when he was born, so he's got U.S. nationality and can't be kept out of the country. He's pulled everything from selling the Brooklyn Bridge to a sucker to murder. He's tough and he's clever. Also, about as safe company as a death adder.
Oh, brother. You're sure you're not mixing him up with someone else?
Oh, not me, not little Louis. I don't sleep nights while he's staying in the hotel.
You're not paid to sleep nights. Well, thanks, pal. I'll do something for you one day.
Just take my advice, Nicky. If he's made you any proposition, don't take it.
On the contrary, Hank, that's just what I'm going to do. I'm going along with him all the way.
Welcome back. Well, this case definitely made some progress. I appreciated that Knight acknowledged that there is something fishy with him being hired, and hopefully we're going to get to the bottom of that. And join us next week. We're going to bring you part 3 of Nightmare for Knight. We're going to get into yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in just a second. Before we do get started, I did want to note I received a message from a listener, Tony, who said on Facebook, I just use JohnnyDollarHair.com. And we really appreciate that because it's a great way to support the program. When you're making travel plans, just remember, go to JohnnyDollarHair.com, which is a Priceline affiliate, and do a search for airfare. If you get your get a good deal there and book your flight or a hotel ticket, cruise, airline ticket, whatever, portion of your purchase goes to support the great detectives of old time radio. So when you plan your travel, remember JohnnyDollarHair.com. Well, now it's time to turn to the tense matter of part 5 of the Broderick matter.
From Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar.
1302. This is the desk clerk. I have a call here.
Never mind the call. You call the police.
You call the what?
Call the police and tell them to hurry. There's an attempted suicide up here.
Who is this?
Shut up and do as I tell you.
Now, just a minute.
It won't do you any good. It won't do you any good at all.
Wait a minute.
Police, you, who cares? I'm going to jump anyhow.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar. Location, Los Angeles, California. To the Eastern Trust Insurance Company Claims Division, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Broderick matter. An old man in Hartford died and left $1,500 insurance money to a little girl who had been nice to him one afternoon back in 1943. My job, get the money to her. Even if she might take it and jump off the 13th floor ledge of a building.
Don't come any closer. I'll jump.
Lorraine.
Don't come any closer.
It's cold out there. Don't you think you should come inside?
I'm going to jump. Away now. Don't try to grab me.
All right. All right, I'll do anything you say, Lorraine. Okay.
What are you doing?
Taking off my coat. Standing out there, it must be cold. Here, you take my coat.
Don't come close.
I'm not.
I don't want your coat.
All right, Lorraine.
I never saw you before in my life. How do you know my name?
I've seen you.
No, you haven't. I remember people. And watch out.
Just going to light a cigarette. I can light a cigarette, can I? Do you want one?
No.
Can I have one?
Suit yourself. Are you a policeman?
No.
Where did you see me?
In a picture. In your high school annual at St. Charles.
St. Charles? What do you know about St. Charles? What's your name?
Johnny Dollar.
Are you from Hartford?
Yes.
Let me see your face in the light. Over there. Don't come near this window. Don't come near her. I'll jump right down there. That's right there. No, you aren't from Hartford. I never knew you. You're lying to me.
No, I'm not.
As room clerk of this hotel, I'm entitled to know. Oh.
Go away! Get out of here! Get out of here, or I'll jump!
What?
Get out, go on, get out.
Yes, yes.
Did you call the police?
No, but I will.
Get out. I heard you tell him about the police. I don't care. They can't stop me. Nobody can stop me.
No, I suppose not, Lorraine. You can jump anytime you want to. I can't stop you.
I wanted somebody to call the police. I want them all down there. When the crowd's big enough, I'll jump. And I'm not afraid to do it. I'm not afraid.
I know that. Lorraine, why don't you come away from the edge? I won't hurt you.
Everybody hurts me. You would, too.
Why do you want to jump, Lorraine?
I have my reasons. Look, there's a couple of people down there who see me. They're looking up here. They'd like to see me jump. Look, they're stopping other people. They'd all like to see me jump.
I don't think they'd like to see that at all, Lorraine.
Oh, yes, they would. Those people down there would love to see it happen. You'd like it, too.
No, I wouldn't. I want you to live, Lorraine.
You're afraid, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Why?
Dying is something all of us face. If you die here tonight, it makes me a little afraid of dying. I don't like to be afraid of anything.
Neither do I.
You must be afraid of something.
I'm not afraid of anything. I've never been afraid of anything. I'm going to jump down there, and that proves I'm not afraid.
I don't believe you, Lorraine. I think you were afraid to love Dr. Pollard in Hartford. I think you were afraid to marry William Demeron in New York City. I think you've been afraid of everything and everybody that was good for you for a long, long time.
Don't come closer!
Would you like to talk to a priest, Lorraine?
No.
Look, sometimes a priest can help you when you're all mixed.
You're so worried I'm going to jump off here any minute, you'd say anything. Or try anything. know what you're doing here. Why you came here.
I told you, Lorraine, I've been looking for you.
Tell him to go back! Tell him to go back, will you?
Go back, go back. Go on back, you crazy fools. Get back. It's all right. They aren't coming.
I don't want anybody here. A lot more people down there in the street now. Oh, they're getting the big lights up here. Golly.
Lorraine, look at me. Look toward me.
What?
I want to help you, Lorraine.
Nobody wants to help me. Nobody's ever wanted to help me.
You're wrong.
Then why did Mama and Daddy die? Why did they have to die? Why did Uncle Jim die? Why was I left alone? Why didn't I have anybody?
You did have somebody. You had Dr. Pollard if you wanted him. You had William Dameron.
Did you meet William?
Yes, sure, last week. He's still very much in love with you, Lorraine.
After I stole money from him and walked out on him?
Oh, the money meant nothing to him. He still loves you, Lorraine. He told me so.
I don't love him. I never loved him.
He thought so.
He was just nice.
Why did you leave him that way?
I'm no good. Never have been. You know. I've never been any good to anybody. You're lying to me about him.
Would you like to talk to Dameron? I can get him on the phone.
No, I don't want to talk to him or to anybody I know. But after I jump, you can tell him something for me.
Sure.
Tell him I meant to send the money back to him. I didn't. You can tell him I loved him. He'd feel good if you told him that, I think.
All right.
Go back! I don't care who you are! Go back or I'll jump right now! Wait! Close that hall door. If you want to see me jump, you'll have to watch from the street down there with the others. Close it! Was he a policeman?
I suppose so. I don't know.
He looked foolish. Oh, Lord, he looked foolish.
Yeah, well, we all look foolish at one time or another. It passes.
Do I look foolish?
Yes. Yeah, you look foolish. You're not going through with this.
You know that for the first time in my life, I know exactly what I want to do, how I want to do it. I'm going to jump. Somebody's on the roof out here. They have a net. A big net.
From what I know about you, I thought you always knew pretty much what you wanted to do in life.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, that's very funny. I knew what I wanted in life. I never knew anything. It's all botched up. Mom and Daddy died. I should have died, too. I should have been with Mom and Daddy when they were killed in the car. Well, it won't be long. I'll be with them. I won't be tired anymore pretty soon. Those men with a net up there.
Lorraine, wait!
Wait for what? You said you talked to people who've known me, who know what I was and what I am. Well, I didn't turn out the way they wanted me to, did I? I didn't even turn out the way I wanted to be. Look at me. Why should I wait?
One man had more faith in you than anybody else.
They're trying to lower that.
He was an old man named John Smith. He sold papers back in Hartford. Old John Smith. Lorraine,
I think I better...
You met him one day when you were a little girl. You helped him sell his papers one afternoon. It meant a lot in his life, an awful lot. Do you remember him?
No.
You were 11 years old. You lived on Cushing Street.
Yes. I went downtown after school one day to look in the windows. I had a nickel and I bought a paper from that old man. He had tobacco juice on his lips. I talked to him. He told me all about selling papers. He said I was a very nice little girl. He asked me my name and where I lived. He talked about school and about growing up. He told me I'd grow up someday and be a lovely woman. He said, lovely woman. He was very nice. He was the nicest man I ever knew. And I only knew him that one afternoon. Where is he?
He's dead, Lorraine.
Dead?
He left you all his money. Insurance money. It comes to $1,500.
You're lying.
No, Lorraine. He wanted you to have it. He worked very hard and sacrificed a great deal to make sure you'd have it.
You're making all this up. It's all a lie. Only that afternoon.
It was an important afternoon. Here, look.
What? Don't come closer.
These prove I'm from the insurance company. Here. Here's the check.
Throw them over.
All right. Go ahead. Pick them up. I won't make a move. What do you think now?
That old man? That poor old man. Oh, that poor old man.
Easy. Easy. Expense account item 17, $5.50, martinis. I needed them. It was my first and I hope my last half hour with an intended suicide. Attach find insurance check payable to Lorraine Broderick for $1,500. The psychiatrist who examined her believed that she will make a complete recovery in time. Until such time, she's not classified as a responsible person. I notified two parties of the events at the Wentmore Hotel. One, Mr. William Dameron in New York City, who arrived in Los Angeles yesterday morning. Two, Joseph Tappan, who has already secured legal counsel for Lorraine Broderick when she answers the bad check charges against her. As you know, in matters like this, restitution is usually preferred to prosecution. Expense account item 18, $185, transportation back to Hartford. Total, $1,132.14. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Remember, please, there'll be another intriguing story for you beginning next Monday night.
Next week, the Cronin matter. A matter of keeping a sweet old lady from carefully and deliberately losing her life. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in this week's cast were Eleanor Audley, Barbara Eiler, Virginia Gregg, Carlton Young, Harry Bartell, Herbert Ellis, John Daner, Marvin Miller, Tony Barrett, Frank Gerstle, Chester Stratton, and Lawrence Dobkin. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Be sure to join us on Monday night, same time and station, for another exciting story of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, in my opinion, this is a program that just consistently outdoes itself here. What we had here, you had Bob Bailey and Virginia Gregg, two of the greatest radio performers of all time. playing this scene just fantastic. A lot of emotion and depth that, and very powerfully done, I thought, on behalf of both actors. And, like I said, a very tense and realistic conclusion. So I have to say that in some ways it's somewhat difficult for the insurance company. They end up spending almost as much on Johnny's expense account as they did on the $1,500 check. And it was not even delivered. But hopefully, when she gets out and is ready and competent to stand trial, hopefully at that point, they'll be able to get the check to her. All right, listener comments and feedback. And we begin with Beverly, who says, "Hi, Adam. I've been listening for several years now, I started with Dragnet and then moved on to Great Detectives. Now that Yours Truly Johnny Dollar is in 5 parts, I wait until the end of the week and download them through iTunes and put them on a playlist so I can listen to the week's show without interruption. Thanks, Adam, for the great service you provide your fans." And Aloma says, "I scrapbook most days, and I love old-time radio shows. I have them in my iPod, iPad, and my XM radio. I can't get enough. Keep them coming." Well, thanks so much, Aloma. We're glad to oblige. We will be back on next Friday with the next part in Nightmare for Night, and we'll be back on Monday with another story of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Join us tomorrow for the lineup. In the meantime, send your comments, Box 13, greatdetectives.net. Take our listener survey, survey.greatdetectives.net, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.